Would you like to work closer to home, save money on gas, and be rewarded for your hard work and attendance? Then Bellisio Foods is looking for you. That's right. Bellisio Foods is now hiring for multiple positions and shifts with great employee benefits, an on-site health clinic, competitive wages, and advancement opportunities. Bellisio Foods is a company that truly values their employees. Apply online at bellisiofoods.com/careers.
At Vinton County National Bank, we believe in supporting the areas where we live and work. Now, we'd like to honor those who also serve our communities. Our new Community Champions account is especially for first responders, veterans, active military, and anyone employed in the fields of healthcare or education. This account offers rewards, discounts, and other benefits to those who give so much to others. Vinton County National Bank, rewarding those who serve.
Well, happy Friday, everyone, and it's Groundhog Day right here on Main Street TV. And what does Groundhog Day mean? Well, that means that pesky groundhog comes out and either sees his shadow or doesn't see his shadow. And Pete, have you heard?
I have heard.
Breaking news right here. Yeah,
the groundhog saw his shadow, so that means that we'll have an early spring. Am I right on that?
I think it's backwards.
Okay.
Didn't see a shadow.
Didn't see a shadow. So yeah. There is an early spring.
Yes.
Right. Right. I even,
so
I,
they
even
say.
I even researched that because that's the big news of the day and I flubbed it already.
It's all right, Pete. I mean, you know why? Because that never happens. That's why you don't understand.
Well, right. The sun was shining yesterday. We had seasonable temperatures. So
it
maybe the groundhog is cued in.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, happy Groundhog Day, everyone. And we hope that you enjoy. And but also, what does Groundhog Day mean here in Jackson County? Well, it's a very special day, and that means it's Amnesty Day right here at the Municipal Court in Jackson County. And you're saying, what the heck is she talking about? Well, if you saw our show a week or so ago, you would know that Judge Mark Music and, of course, our Clerk of Court, Seth Michael, have kind of teamed up. And some folks from Columbus have come down, and we're having an amnesty day there at the court, and it just happened to fall on Groundhog Day, so there you go. But you're saying, what the heck is she talking about, right?
Amnesty Day.
Amnesty
That can
day.
Mean a lot of things.
That can definitely mean a lot of things. Well, never fear, because our good buddy Jeremiah Shaver is on the scene at the municipal court right now to fill you in on what Amnesty Day is and how you can help yourself out.
Absolutely. This is something I've not heard about before. It's probably been tried somewhere, but give Judge Music and Seth Michael and everybody involved a heck of a lot of credit.
That's
because
right.
It is giving a lot of people who are kind of behind the eight ball a chance to get out from under a little bit.
It is. We need you to get your driving privileges back. We need you to, you know, to help yourself. And that's what this day is all about, is finding out the best way to help yourself. But Jeremiah is on the scene, so let's see if we can push all the right buttons and head on over and see what he's up to this morning. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning, Pete and Jen. How are you?
We're great. We're hoping for those 6 weeks of not bad weather.
That's right. Happy Groundhog's Day. I was listening in there as Pete was talking about the predictions, and I have a little information about that I could share before we get started talking about Amnesty Day.
Of course, go for it.
So this morning, Punxsutawney Phil, that's your groundhog in Pennsylvania, he's the world's most beloved and furry seasonal weather forecasting groundhog.
He
did not see his shadow. So that means an early spring. Now, Ohio's official groundhog, Buckeye Chuck, he didn't see his shadow either, so that's
Woo-hoo!
Two for two.
Hey, okay. Coordination, we like that.
Yeah, so legend has it that if the furry rodent sees his shadow on February 2nd, the winter will last another month and a half. If he doesn't see it, then spring will come early.
We'll take
so,
that.
spring is officially set for March 19th, guys.
Okay, Well, let's see if it comes early. We'll get the corn planted in the ground early, right?
That's right. So you guys kind of teased to me here. We're down here at the Jackson County Municipal Court, and you can see a bus in my background. I was here early this morning between 7, 7:30. This is called a Justice Bus, and it's the Southeastern Ohio Legal Services. It's a nonprofit organization, and they basically help low-income Ohioans with legal matters. This Justice Bus with lawyers arrived on scene this morning here at the Jackson County Municipal Court to assist the court and the clerk's office with the Amnesty Day. And we have a video clip that we can show here of the bus arriving.
He's on it. Hold on.
So here you can see this was the Justice Bus. They saved a parking spot right in front of the building for the Justice Bus.
Love that.
To park. Yeah. And we were here bright and early. It was still dark when the bus arrived. I actually had to get my light out when I did my broadcast. A little funny story about my broadcast. I forgot to unmute Jen, and I'm just sitting here talking, and nobody can hear what I'm saying. So that's what happens when Jeremiah gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Little early for your taste, right, Jeremiah?
Little early, and we had a rough night last night. Little guy didn't sleep the best, so we're running on fumes this morning.
Well, that's all right. So, can you tell us a little bit about this Justice Bus? What who's on the bus?
Yeah, so the Justice Bus that was sent from the Southeastern Ohio Legal Services. And that's a nonprofit organization that provides civil legal services through 6 regional offices that serve 30 counties. This particular one, I was told, came from Zanesville, made the trip down here to Jackson County,
wow.
Ohio.
That's a haul.
And I guess they'll be here throughout the day to assist the court in their Amnesty Day. We can tell you a little bit more about the Amnesty Day.
Yeah.
As you were saying, Jackson County Municipal Court Judge Mark Music and Jackson County Clerk of Courts Seth Michael had teamed up in a partnership for this Amnesty Day today. And so today they're able to come in and see the court, and they'll go through the process of looking at that warrant. And I could give you a little more information here on that. Let me see here. Trying to find my notes, I apologize.
Well, there is
a lot to today. They say the court will assist, you know, there's the drivers with their license issues, which will offer a unique opportunity to obtain help and amnesty for any license blocks, fees, fines, costs, judgments, and suspension of driver privileges. And that's all done for free today. And Judge Music had told us from time to time, there are as many as 2,000 arrest warrants for persons who have not come to court for arrest warrants, for persons who, the failure to appear, which caused the driver's license blocks. It says a large number of those cases may procrastinate the process due to overwhelming belief that they will be immediately jailed or punished for missing the initial court date.
Well, and that's where this kicks in, Jeremiah, because it's a vicious cycle. People are afraid to come to court because they're afraid they're going to be in more trouble, or they can't pay their fines, so then they ignore it, and then they get in more trouble, and so on and so forth, and it just keeps going round and round and round. So this Amnesty Day is kind of hopefully a break in that cycle and an opportunity for people to come in, trust the court, trust the process, and maybe get on the right road to, you know, getting themselves back up and driving, literally, pun intended, and, you know, get their fines and stuff under control.
Right. Yeah. Judge Music did say, in essence, no one who comes to the court today, Friday, February 2nd, with an outstanding arrest warrant of all types, now that's excluding felonies,
yeah,
will be jailed, he said. Instead, these warrants, even ones regarding failure to appear, will be removed from the records of individuals. Amnesty or partial amnesty will also be granted for BMV fees and court fines and fees. So it's a good opportunity for folks to, like you said, to maybe turn over a leaf here in the new year and get back on track.
Absolutely. And just as I said, just please trust in the court system that, you know, you can go in, you can feel safe in going in today, and you have a wealth of information. You have the justice bus right there. You have attorneys there. You have the clerk of court's office there. You have the municipal court right there. You have all of the people you need to talk to right there in one spot. And it's just an amazing day.
Yes, I believe this is from 8 to 4 o'clock. It opened, yes. Started at 8 a.m. this morning and goes to 4 p.m. Like I said, I was here early when the justice bus arrived. At about 15 till 8, there was a handful of folks that started coming in for this amnesty day.
Good.
And since I've been here, I've seen some folks coming and going from the court. So hopefully that's a good sign that they are going to be busy throughout the day for this amnesty day.
All right.
So one last thing. Again, no one, excluding those with felony, it says excluding felony warrants, will be punished or jailed for participating today. It says forgiveness at the Jackson County Municipal Court, thanks to the efforts of Judge Music, Michael, and their affiliates. So you have till 4 o'clock to come on down and take advantage of this. Once again, this is at the Jackson County Municipal Court. It's right behind the Jackson County Courthouse here in Jackson, Ohio. It's on Court Street.
That's right. So get down there and get on the path to getting all of your life back in order, basically. And this is a perfect day to do it.
Right. And
all right. Drug court. Thank you, guys. We'll take it back to the studio to you.
As well. Yeah, thank
okay.
you. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Jeremiah.
Thank you so much, Jeremiah.
We appreciate you.
Thank you. As you can see there, Jeremiah didn't have a winter coat on, so maybe the groundhog knows what he's talking
maybe.
About.
You never know.
But
absolutely.
But drug court personnel will also be there, you know, talk about the deeper layers of why folks get in trouble, at least some of them.
Correct.
They're, you know, because of drug-related problems or addictions even. So drug court personnel will be there as well. And just cannot emphasize too much, no matter, you know, outside of the felony warrants, anyone who has a warrant, you know, you don't have to worry about getting in more trouble or getting jailed in any way, shape, or form. You didn't have to sign up ahead of time for this. So even if you just heard about it right now.
Correct. Get on down.
You can still go there. And like I say, props to Judge Music. He's really
the
driving force there. I know he's very appreciative that Seth Michael got on board with this as well. And it's just like
it's teamwork.
Monopoly isn't real world, but it's just like the get out of jail free card.
It is
a one-time thing. It's just like you won the lottery almost.
Yep.
If you're in trouble, you need to take advantage of this opportunity. Now, just because they did it here, that doesn't mean you can go in Monday and this will happen. You know, I'm sure that they would still try to work out.
They will work out.
This is a one day thing.
But this is such an important day. You have attorneys there. You have it's a one-stop shop, as you said, for all of this. And this is a great day to get in there and take advantage of all of those resources under one roof. Instead of, you know, the clerk of courts is not that far away down Veterans Drive, but still, you know, there's that drive back and forth. If you don't have a license, that can be problematic. So, you know, today you have all of these people under one roof there at the court. So please take advantage of it. Get yourself on the right path.
Right. And of course, you know, our interview there, on the scene interview, live interview with Jeremiah will also be posted, you know, on the Main Street page immediately after. And remember, this goes until 4 o'clock today.
That's right.
So, you know, one other thing, you know, that we want to say there is on the newspaper side, of course, you know, Jeremiah is going to get some photos, but Alex Shope, who covered the Amnesty Day, talked to Judge Music at length on the front end. He's going to get with Mark on the back end to see how successful this was.
Yeah,
very curious
sure.
to see how many of these folks show up.
Would love that.
You know, hopefully it's quite a few, but I don't think the general public understands how many warrants there are that are outstanding there.
A lot.
And it really, on the other end of it, in addition to being a great individual opportunity for the people with warrants, it helps ungum up mm-hmm. the court system.
It's just win-win for everybody. It really is.
Right. I know there was a time, I want to be careful about throwing around numbers because these are old, but I know at one time the police department told me, you know, they were dealing with 1,000 or more warrants. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just...
I would say that's conservative now.
That's amazing. And usually what happens is when somebody, you know, they might have a minor traffic stop, it's seen that they have a warrant, that's when they get in trouble.
Yep.
There. And we've seen this too, when there's been much greater crimes occur, you know, new felonies or people, vehicle pursuits, they're running because they have a warrant.
Yes.
Not because they didn't want to get a ticket for speeding or whatever.
Right, right, right.
So, you know, that's not a very good...
It's going to be worse than, yeah.
Not a very good decision, but their fear kicks in there.
Yeah, for sure.
So anyway, wonderful thing that Judge Music is doing over there.
It is.
Okay, well, we will get to the rest of the news now. But earlier today, the Sheriff's Department, the Jackson County Sheriff's Office, put out an alert that a section of State Route 279, this was a little after 7 a.m. this morning, was closed just east of Oak Hill. That's the section between Mariah Road and CH&D Road. That's just outside of town there on the east side. I'm sure a lot of people use that road if they're heading east towards Rio Grande or whatever. But it was closed down not all that long, for maybe a little over half an hour. There was a structure fire there. And I don't know all the details, but I have since learned that a unoccupied camper along the road was on fire. And, you know, the vehicles coming and whatever, they just had to close the road down there for a short time. But it is open again, and hopefully we'll be able to get with the fire department and find specifics there. But for folks who heard the sirens and wondered what was going on, an unoccupied camper was on fire.
Okay.
All right, from the law enforcement front, we just got this information from Sheriff Ted Frazier. And this was earlier in the week. It was on Wednesday. But the sheriff's office deputies arrested a Colton man for an alleged role in trafficking illegal drugs. Michael Dupree, age 57, of Elizabeth Avenue in Colton, was taken into custody after deputies observed him selling what they believed to be the deputies methamphetamine. A search warrant was then obtained. A probable cause warrant was executed with assistance. The Oak Hill Police Department and Jackson County EMS were in on this too. And as a result, he was taken into custody. He is in the Jackson County Correctional Facility as an inmate, and he has been charged with a felony level trafficking in drugs.
Okay.
So that's fresh from the Sheriff's Department. We appreciate him passing along that information. Well, today is Groundhog Day. Yesterday was Township Day.
Township Day.
Township Day. And, you know, I'm so glad that they do this. The Ohio Townships Association promotes this, and it has been observed and celebrated in Jackson County for quite some time through the county commissioners. On the day closest to February 1st on the commissioners meeting, this time it happened to be this Wednesday, which was January 31st, the commissioners invite as many township officials would like to come to their meeting. They do a proclamation for Ohio Township Day, and they take a huge picture, which Hayden John.
Holy moly.
That up. Now, this is just, of course, a fraction of the township officials, but quite a few. It's some of the township officials, the trustees, but also some of the other local officials who wanted to come out and, you know, observe and thank and recognize township government and the people who run our townships as well. You know, they invited the mayors, and of course the commissioners were there. A proclamation was read by Commissioner Paul Haller, and then Alex Shope was there and took this picture. We will have a story in the paper on Saturday about Ohio Township Day and the proclamation and so forth. But a lot of folks who don't live in townships, maybe even some, many who do not know a whole lot about township government. You don't hear as much about that as you do county commissioners.
You don't.
And village councils and city councils and school boards and so forth. But these are elected officials. And in Jackson County's 12 townships, There are three township trustees and one fiscal officer. Used to be called clerk treasurer, now called fiscal officer. And they are elected to 4-year terms. It's staggered in odd numbered years. Two trustee spots are on the ballot. And in the other 2 years, it is the other trustee and mm-hmm. the fiscal officer. So we just had new township people go in or go into new terms just at the beginning of the year because of the 2023 election. But I'm going to ask you, Jennifer.
Okay.
Every now and then, you know, when you're a TV star, you get put on the spot.
Oh.
There are 12 townships in Jackson County.
Oh, my.
Name as many of them as you can. And she was not prompted on this.
Oh, wow.
So if she beats me up after the show is over, you'll know why.
Okay. Let's see how many I can get. Okay. Probably not a lot. Not enough.
I'm with you on this.
Okay. Cole. Okay. Bloomfield.
Mm-hmm.
Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Lick.
Mm-hmm.
Scioto.
Okay.
Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
You're doing good, girl.
I'm running out already.
You're halfway there.
I'm halfway there already.
You would be above the field, I do believe.
Okay, let me think.
Think north is now. There, go north.
Go north.
Around Wellston.
There's not a Jackson Township, is there?
Oh, there surely is.
Is there?
Yes.
Okay.
That's you get a over half now.
Cole.
George.
Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Washington Township.
That's number 8.
And there's how many? 12?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. All right. So who do I have so far?
You've got Cole, Bloomfield, Franklin, Lick, Scioto, Madison, Jackson, and Wellston. So you've got 8 already. You're doing great. Alexander.
Hamilton.
There's number 9.
Yeah. Oh, I'm panicking, Pete. I'm panicking.
Give me or death. Patrick Henry. Give me.
Liberty.
There you go.
Duh.
See, she knows her history, too.
Oh, geez. You got to think of fire departments, too.
What township is Buckeye Furnace in?
Oh, my.
They're on 124 out that way.
I don't know. Someone help us. Throw it out there.
Okay. There's our map right there. You did so good. We're just going to put the map
Jefferson, up. Milton.
Milton. Right. That hard to cue that.
I got cold, didn't I?
If I would have said Monticello, you would have got Jefferson, I'm sure.
I did say Cole, didn't I?
You did say Cole.
Okay.
Right. And there's Milton and
Scioto,
there's Washington,
Jackson.
Cole, and Jackson. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You did good.
Okay. Didn't do too bad.
You got most of them. And I will say, you know, maybe I'm not giving our residents close enough, but I'm guessing that the average Joe Q public would get less than half of them.
Probably.
Right. And they should know more than that. And I hope they know their own township.
Well, this is that's just a product of me having to work elections a lot.
Okay. All right. Well,
for on the radio or on this show.
You did good. That is what I would call near genius level.
Oh, right.
75% of them. But anyway, Ohio Township Day, and there was a lot of people that came out for that picture. And the commissioners gave the townships, a lot of credit for the work they do in their locale. When a township official, you know, they're in charge of the township roads. You know, mm-hmm. that's a big thing, you know, taking care of the roads, the snow and all like that. They don't do the bridges. That's too big. But, you know, they are in charge of keeping their township roads maintained.
It's a huge task. People don't understand.
Oh, yeah. And nominally, at least. They are in charge of cemeteries,
yeah.
You know, taking care of those. You know,
sure.
That's a lot of work right there. And as we know, that's a sensitive thing. If, you know, you have a loved one's grave somewhere and the cemetery is not maintained.
Absolutely.
And there's ways to complain about that to the state. But you know, that is a big deal. But usually the township officers meet at least once a month to mm-hmm. do township business. And so Township Day, so glad that they observe this, because this is this is a chance to recognize those folks who often work behind the scenes, at least to a lot of the general public. So anyway, we will have a story in our Saturday paper, and we're going to run that map. We hopefully there's room for that in the paper as well. All right.
Little history lesson there, huh?
Right. We are coming up. We're still more than about 6 weeks out, maybe a little bit more to the March 19th primary election.
Okay.
But one of the things that is very interesting, Jennifer, is that after Congressman Brad Winstrup of the 2nd District announced in November, I think it was, that he would not be seeking re-election, and that was more than a year ahead of time, the candidates have come out of the woodwork. Winstrup is a Republican, and he has actually held the 2nd District position for, I think by the time, you know, the end of this year comes, 14 years. Now, here in Jackson and Vinton counties, we weren't that familiar with him because they redrew the lines.
Right.
And we were in the 6th District, but now we're in the 2nd. But anyway, 11 Republican candidates
running
in the primary and 2 Democratic candidates. So there's contested races on both sides.
Wow.
And the respective winners will step up and go head-to-head in the November 5th general election. But I wanted to name the Republican candidates. Chances are, if you're active politically or whatever, maybe you've received mailers or whatever.
Sure.
Or if you're registered voters. But it's so challenging in our district because it goes all the way from the edge of Cincinnati all the way almost to the river and covering the southern quarter of the state.
Yeah.
Huge. And that's because of population. Mm-hmm. You know, there aren't any really large cities in there. And
yep.
So can you imagine what it's like for those candidates trying to get their name out?
I cannot. Now, this is like you go to Washington kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like this isn't a state race. This is a congressional seat.
This is a congressional seat.
Okay.
Correct. So it's a 2-year term. Whoever gets elected, you know, in the November 5th general election will serve for 2 years. And here's the thing. It makes you accountable because, you know, the terms are short, but it's almost like you're running for re-election.
The minute you get elected.
The minute you get elected. That's right. But here are the 11 candidates who are running on the Republican side. Neeraj Atani, Kim Georgeton, Phil Heimlich, Ron Hood, Tom Wang, Larry Kidd, Derek Myers, Tim O'Hara, Charles Tassel, David Taylor, and Shane Wilkin. Of course, one of the familiar names is Larry Kidd.
Mm-hmm.
He is a Jackson County resident, very well known in our county.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's run for anything before.
Right.
I think he's been active politically and certainly been active as a very successful businessman and entrepreneur. But he is running for Congress. A lot of commercials out for him. He's putting out news releases. One of the other candidates whose name is probably a little bit more familiar in that group is Shane Wilkin.
That's right.
He is the current state senator.
Yes.
And so kind of a built-in advantage there because part of his Senate district is part of the 2nd district. So he has that name recognition.
Gotcha, yeah.
Plus, obviously, some governmental and political connections there. He is from Hillsboro.
He was just in the brewery the other night.
Okay. Well,
with him.
He gets around.
Yeah.
Tom Wang, I think, is from Waverly, and he ran against Shane Wilkin for that state Senate seat.
Okay.
However many years ago. I think it was in 2022. Derek Myers, some people have heard that name. He was a online newspaper editor. With the Scioto Guardian, I think, Scioto Valley Guardian.
Oh, yeah. I think someone mentioned that.
His name has been out there
for
that. He has some notoriety. Tim O'Hara, not sure where Tim lives, but some of his commercials have been out there, as has David Taylor, who is a concrete company owner. David Taylor, Shane Wilkin, Larry Kidd, there was some of the better names because of what they've done and the amount of advertising they've done and the amount of money that they put into their campaigns early. But everybody is on an even footing there.
Okay.
And be very interested to see what happens among that 11.
That's a big field.
11-man field. And on the Democrat side, the two candidates are Samantha Meadows, who is from Ross County, and the other Democratic candidate is Joe Wessels. And Samantha Meadows ran for Congress 2 years ago against Brad Winstrup.
Okay.
So she has the advantage of having her name on the ballot district-wide, at least that one time. So her name is on the ballot. Again, once again, it'll be the Democrat winner against the Republican winner in the November 5th general election, and that will be one of the decisions that folks will be making in both Jackson and Vinton counties in that March 19th primary election.
What's Brad Winstrup doing? I mean, why did he not run? Did he say why he wasn't running?
I remember this. He did put out a statement, and he left
tired of being in Washington.
Well, he left a lot of options open, but you know, he had served for a while, but the main thing he cited was family.
Okay.
He's got a young family. Got
fair enough.
Got a couple of kids, you know, that are in school, becoming more active. And when you're a congressman, you're in Washington part of the time. And let's face it, when you're representing the 2nd District, you're in the car away from home.
You are.
Quite a bit. But Winstrup has got a little bit of a national reputation because he has been on a committee. I can't think of the formal name of the committee, but it has been investigating the COVID situation on the back end, on things, how it was handled and what was wrong and what was right and like that. He's been on some of the national news shows for that. But we will have a new congressman for sure in 2025, and it's going to be one of those 13 names. We'll have that story in the paper.
Maybe this
next one as well. All right. You know all about the Ronald McDonald House. Mm-hmm. I bet you know about that, right?
Yeah.
But the Ronald McDonald House, you know, they're all over, you know, but what it is, the Ronald McDonald House is usually close to a major hospital.
Yes.
And it is a place where parents and family members of child patients at these hospitals can go and stay for free.
That's right.
Right. And I think there's some other amenities that are given to them, too. And, of course, this is a big commitment by McDonald's. But they tried to get the local restaurants and the local publics all through their area. And, you know, McDonald's are everywhere as well. And that led to a news story that we're going to have out in one of our papers next week.
Okay.
But our local McDonald's, and we're talking about the ones that, you know, Brad and Sarah Munn own in Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and MacArthur.
Mm-hmm.
They participated in what is called a roundup for the Ronald McDonald House. And the local people got involved in this, customers. I'm not sure what period that this took place, but if you went, you know, through the drive-through at McDonald's, or I suppose in the store as well,
sure.
You know, if you had a bill, $10.79, you were asked if you wanted to round up for the Ronald McDonald House. And so, you know, you paid an extra 21 cents. Obviously, with a volume deal like McDonald's, that can add up.
It can add up pretty quickly, yes.
Anyway, the folks who are with McDonald's and who work specifically with the Ronald McDonald House, they did a tally, and the McDonald's restaurants, which are in the West Virginia area, was the out of 41 participating stores, the Munn Group was number 5. And, you know, you're talking about some larger cities there, Charleston, Huntington. I'm not sure all what is in there, but obviously our local communities came through. That's to the credit of the Munns and the staff at McDonald's, but also,
that is awesome.
But also local folks. You know, it wouldn't have happened without them. But we'll be running pictures of the local staff with the Ronald McDonald representatives. And the pictures that Hayden is putting up now are from those 4 stores. And we've got the names and all like that. So we want you to look for that store. And we want you to look for that story in one of the papers next week, maybe even the Wednesday paper. You know, I never can say for sure when something's going to run because
sure.
I can't control the news. I've tried, but I can't do it. It runs me, not
even
the other
Pete
way
Wilson
around.
Can't control the news.
Jeremiah Shaver, who now is in the studio after being on the scene, went to the Jackson McDonald's, got information, and we had pictures submitted from the other McDonald's place. So we've got all 4 stores in there. But, you know, that's how it's, in this case, it benefited the Ronald McDonald House. But in some cases, though, you have the roundup concept being used by lots of other businesses.
Charities and things, yes.
Charities as well. And so, you know, it does make a difference. Let me tell you how much of a difference it was made. The Jackson location in this period collected $20,783. That's a lot of 21-cent donations.
Holy moly.
Wellston, $16,652. MacArthur, $14,064. O'Kill, $8,639. That added up to over $60,000.
Wow.
To help Ronald McDonald. The money collected locally, let's translate that into what that means. It will support 298 families and will provide 610 nights of rest at the house in Huntington, West Virginia.
Way to go.
So how about that?
Go, community.
And there's Jeremiah. Jeremiah knows more about it than I do.
Hey, Pete, I was listening in and just you said you didn't know the time period on that. That was just over $60,000 that they raised in 2023 alone.
Okay, 1 year.
So, no, a year. Wow, that is something.
And they were in the top five. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact position in the top five. So, I don't know if they were.
Oh, they may have been better than five.
They may have been better than five.
Right, okay.
She just told me that they fell out of the 41 stores. They were in the top five.
That
you know,
is fantastic.
And that's because we're such a giving community.
That's
I mean,
what
seriously,
she said. Yeah. She said these
we
rural.
Are.
She
right.
She said these rural areas are very, very good at that. I'm getting a phone call from a Dylan Euler, so I'm going to take this.
Okay.
All right. But you know.
He is alive then.
You know, yes. That is a commitment, you know, not only by the people, that is a generosity thing, not only by the customers. I know that's not a lot of money at once, but it's also very easy to say no to.
Sure.
Because you're already spending a little bit of money. But I give credit to, in this case, the Munns, because it would be very easy to say, well, we don't want to burden our customers with that.
Right.
We don't want to be.
Or we just don't want to mess with it.
Right. Because some people, you know, they resent that, honestly, unfortunately,
yeah.
When they get asked to make a little donation or whatever, even though it's voluntary. So credit to the Munns as well. And as you know, they have been great in the community to support so many different things with material donations or something like this.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, there is another good guy I want to mention. This is a little belated, but I wanted to make sure we got it on television. You know Rick Calebs.
I do know Rick Calebs.
Well, Rick
yes.
Calebs is, he's right near the top, maybe at the top of the good guy list, if he's listed, I need to say that. But he received some professional recognition recently. Rick is a Wellston resident, and it wasn't too long ago that he retired as the chief of the Athens County EMS system. That is
okay.
A very responsible job. You know,
yeah.
Athens County is a big county in Southeast Ohio, and of course, Ohio University is there as well. But there is Rick. He is the man on the left. He was recognized along with Eric Burgess, who is from another county. But they got recognized together, so that's why Eric is in the picture. But Rick was recognized by the Ohio EMS Chiefs Association for all of his service to EMS and to the Athens County EMS in particular, where he, you know, closed out his career before retirement. But we're going to have a story in our Saturday paper that not only announces this award and will run the picture, but also more about Rick Calebs, because one of the reasons that we're running this story, we would have anyway because of the professional award, but Rick does so much in the community and
he
has
does.
Through the years.
Yep.
And I have a feeling that he's going to stay just as busy after retirement. One of the things that Rick is doing now, he is a main volunteer with the Grace Clinic in
yes.
Wellston. That is the... that's the nonprofit group of professionals that provide some medical assistance to people who are uninsured.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, there's too many of those. And, you know, for people not to have a chance to get some help
yep.
medically because of money, you know, that's a bad
yeah,
situation.
Not okay.
Not a bad not a good situation at all. But Rick is active with Grace Clinic. He also has a personal business called Agar Media. He did the first Telegram website and did a great job, was our webmaster for a number of years. He was a member of the Jackson Police Department at one time. He managed Hillcrest.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember him from the pool, too.
Many years. And he was even assistant cheerleader coach over at Ohio University, you know, because he was over in Athens.
Yep.
A very good member of the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church. Just an all-around good guy. I call him my friend. And we were very lucky that we have a man like Rick Calebs serving the way he did. The way he did and the way he still is.
You got it.
In Jackson County. All right. Not too long ago, in conjunction with the end of the year, Jackson County Dog Warden Jennifer Yu submitted her annual report. There is Jennifer with one of her furry friends.
That's Poppy.
Right. Well, that's...
That's her doggy.
Is that a shot here?
That's here, yeah.
I see that microphone. But, you know, Jennifer has stepped into the large shoes of Deb Fowl.
Yes.
And seems to be doing just a wonderful job. She not only does the work, but she seems to be passionate about it.
Very much
so. Just like Deb was.
Yes.
But I'm going to throw out a few numbers just to give you the idea of how busy the dog pound is.
Yep.
This past year... 111 dogs were brought in. They picked up 296 dogs. They returned 123 to the owners. So that is a big service, right?
Wow.
There. If you lose your dog, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so what people will do, you know, the pound or the warden may pick up the loose dog, or maybe somebody sees, oh, I don't know whose dog this is, and that's where they take it. But 123 were returned to the owner. 72 dogs were adopted. Those are great stories, as you know.
They are.
232 were rescued. Altogether, the dog warden's office got 3,738 calls. 3,738 in a calendar year. You're not talking about a big staff.
No, you are not.
Right. But one of the things we wanted to run this report, but then I had Alex Shope get a hold of Jennifer just for a little bit of perspective. And one of the things that she is concerned about is that there has been a reduction in people buying dog licenses. Now, you know the dogs are still out there, but some people are not,
yes,
are not being as responsible as they should be about getting,
correct,
dog licenses in the period. To purchase a dog license at the regular rate just passed. It was,
yeah,
Wednesday, January the 31st.
Well, here's the deal. So I think, you know, we preach it here on the show, but come on, guys. Like, you want these services to be available to you. You want to call the dog warden. You want them to come and help you or pick up a dog or do this. The only way they're funded really is through dog tags.
That's
their main source of funding.
That is their main source of funding, totally. That's going to rule a lot of what, you know, they're able to do.
And if you have a dog, or if it's not your dog but lives on your property, tough tootie, buy it a dog tag. Right. There's so many reasons why you should anyway. Number one, you're helping out the dog pound. But number two, it keeps the dog safe if by chance they would get lost or something. They can head back home.
Exactly.
Because they're tied to you.
Right. And she's, another problem she said is, and this is, I'm not sure why this is happening. You know, they're still getting a lot of dogs in and they are adopting a lot of dogs and they're returning a lot of dogs to owners as numbers show, but they're getting more dogs than they can handle.
Yes.
And they're staying there longer.
Yes.
And it's not meant to be a residential facility. It's
no,
kind of like a pass through type thing.
And
they don't do this. You know, in the old days, we're going to put a bunch of dogs.
Friday was kill day.
They don't do that. As a matter of fact, this past year, in case you're interested, there was 11 euthanizations and 6 were for medical reasons and 5 were for behavioral reasons. It wasn't just because we can't afford to have them here anymore. That is
right.
So sad when that happens. So,
you know, and they will do anything they can. And, you know, our dog pound is so fortunate because they do such a wonderful job. They have developed all kind of relationships with these rescues. As you mentioned, there's, 200 and some rescues, because they know, the rescues know that our dogs are treated well. They come from a good spot, you know, and that's a testament to our dog warden staff.
Right.
A lot of those places, you know, a lot of other places throughout the state don't have that. And,
no, not at
you know,
all.
We are so fortunate to have them here in our area. And we just hope that you, you know, go out, buy those dog tags. And, you know, if you get caught without a dog tag, it's a fine.
No, I know they had
it's $100 and some fine,
been
I think.
Very strict in the past. You know, it is the law.
It is the law.
I want to emphasize
they're
that.
Not picking
it isn't
on
just
you.
The right thing to do. It
no,
is the law.
It's the law. And that is how dog pounds are funded. And so do it. Get in there, buy your dog tag, and help out our furry friends.
Right, exactly. And, you know, talking about maybe the public not being aware of all that's going on through the dog warden's office. In addition to, you know, handling the dogs, they investigate dog bites, dogs running at large. They perform well-being checks on dogs that may be neglected or abused. They enforce the humane laws and the aid other first responders when dogs are involved. Because normally, my experience has been when law enforcement is involved and they got a dog call, they immediately call the dog pound. So they get involved in some of those calls that go to law enforcement first.
Absolutely. Whether it be a fire or whether it be a situation where they need to go into a home or something and there's a dog there that, I mean, there's any number of reasons why people that are experts with dogs should be called out first. A lot of times the dogs are scared. There's guys with guns coming into their home. Like, of course they're going to be scared and they're not going to know what, how to act and things. So yeah, they get called out to a lot of different scenarios.
Right. And I know this too. I think Jennifer may have posted this not all that long ago. There is a need for volunteers at the dog.
Very much so.
And donations are very, welcome. You know, if for whatever reason, you know, you have extra dog food or whatever.
I have a whole bag of treats at my house right now I'm going to take out there.
Right, exactly. And I tell you, if just a few people do this, and what relative, I don't mean actually a few, but, you know, just a small percentage of people in the county do this, think about this. It's something that they can do because it's a good thing to do if you're a citizen and you care about the animals and you care about what the dog pound staff is trying to do. That can make a big difference. It can fill the gaps here because of the limited budget that they work with and the relatively small staff.
Absolutely.
All right. well, speaking of obligations, it wasn't too long ago that the real estate taxes were set. I know.
Boo!
Well, anyway, they're just doing their job.
I know.
So, you know, Jackson,
you gotta pay them.
Hubbard may go underground and take the ridgeway on one end of the taxes. She may as well. But
correct.
But anyway, Lee Hubbard does want the public to know that the first half local real estate tax bills have gone out. You should have received them by now. They are due Friday, February the 23rd. And, you know, this is a good chunk of change. So, you know, you need to plan for that to get that paid.
Yeah.
Now, this is important. This may not sound fair, but it is the law. If you have not received your tax bill, you need to contact the county treasurer's office immediately to request another copy because Ohio law requires late penalties be charged even if no bill was received. So if you're not being honest and you're trying to say, I didn't get it, or even if you are honest and you didn't get it, it adds up to the same thing on your obligation and what could happen because you didn't pay.
And you don't want your name in the you-know-what newspaper.
That's right. Exactly. You'll go on the delinquent tax assessment.
That's right.
I didn't know that person was that way.
Right. Oh, did you know so-and-so doesn't pay their taxes? Oh, my.
But the county treasurer's office is open to accept payments Monday through Friday during the regular hours. That's at the courthouse, of course, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can also mail them to the courthouse. You can make payments at any branch of West Banco.
Yeah, that's what I do. I just run through the drive-thru and throw it through the thing, and you keep going.
Trying to make it as easy as possible. You can also use a drop box that is at the courthouse. It's open 24 hours a day, of course.
Oh, cool.
And that is located near the main entrance of the courthouse, just to the left of the front door. Some folks may not know about that.
I didn't know about that.
That is very convenient.
Yes.
You can also pay by credit card or debit card or by electronic check online at www.jacksoncountyauditor.org and then go through the prompts to be able to pay. So it's you know, there's an extra convenience or service charge there, but it's very small that you'd have to pay $150 or $2 or something like that. And if you have any questions, go to the treasurer's office or call the treasurer's office at 286-2402.
There you
but
go.
Anyway,
gotta pay them.
Don't put that letter aside and forget about it. All right, because it is like a bill.
Oh,
it is a bill as a matter.
Punch in the old stomach when you get the bill, but pay it.
All right. Well, our good friend Danny Berger, who is the district conservationist, he came by the office the other day, and I think we've had him on TV before.
Yeah.
And he likes to use the media, and we like to help him. But one of their big projects every year is a tree and wildlife packet sale, and that is underway.
Take advantage of this.
Right. I'm sure the prices and the availability better than if you walk into any store that I know of. But a wide variety of products are available. Orders will be taken until Thursday, February the 15th. So you have a little bit of time there, a couple of weeks. The distribution date for the tree and wildlife packets that you purchase online or in person is March the 22nd. And so we'll have an article in the paper about that a Saturday, and we will follow up and put that in more once. It'll be online as well. But you can go to the SWCD office out on Fair Greens Road. You can mail your order form to them. Mm-hmm. There's an order form that is online as well. And so it's not that hard to do.
You know, listen, this is something that I've talked about several times. When we bought our land, you know, 21 years ago or 22 years ago or whatever, our land, the way our land sits, it sits behind a lot of other houses that line Standpipe Road. So we were like, well, it would be cool to put like a tree line there. So everybody's kind of secluded, whatever. So we went out to the office and we bought, and I can't even remember at this point how many trees we bought. Maybe 100, I don't know. White pine trees. Mm-hmm. And they were literally, and I've said this, they were like a stick with like three new needles on them when we planted them. And those things now are, they have done exactly what they're supposed to do. And they are, I couldn't even tell you how tall they are now. I mean, they are ginormous.
Right. And you're not claiming you have a green thumb, right?
No, I definitely don't have a green thumb. We did take care of them. We weeded around them and whatever while they were getting their starts. But I mean, it's just unbelievable. And it was not a very expensive endeavor, but it makes all the difference. It helps, you know, make a natural fence. And then, as you mentioned, tons of wildlife live in those trees as well and underneath them and all of that. So right. It gives a natural place for them to hide and whatever as well.
Trees are a good thing.
They are. Right. They are.
Yeah. Joyce Kilmer, right? Remember that? There's nothing as beautiful as a tree.
Oh.
Isn't that what Joyce said?
I don't know.
Well, anyway.
Sounds good to me.
Take our word for it. All right. Jennifer knows firsthand. All right, some things going on here in the near future we wanted to tell you about. The Vinton County Middle School is presenting a play this weekend. It's called The Trial of the Wicked Witch. I don't know a lot of plot details, but it sounds interesting. But they're going to have several performances this weekend. They're going to have one tonight at 6 p.m.
Okay.
Saturday, there's two of them, 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. And then Sunday afternoon at 2. Tickets are only $5. How's that for an inflation beater?
Sounds good to me.
And that will be at the middle school. That is the Vinton County Middle School Drama Club.
Okay.
That will be doing that. All right. Talked to Dorothy Riepenhoff yesterday, the Energizer Bunny who just turned 80.
Yes.
I'm all right to say that because they had a big party for her to celebrate it. But Dorothy, I don't think she slowed down at all. But she wanted to get the word out that they're, of course, going to do the Rotary Show again.
Okay.
The dates that were announced to me were April 19th and 20th. That would be Friday and Saturday. It will be at the high school. They are going to start practicing. That's why we're announcing it already.
Love that.
But rehearsals will start on Monday, February 12th at 7 p.m. I'm not sure what the frequency of practices are, but I know it'll pick up as they get closer. But it starts on Monday, the February 12th at 7 p.m. It's going to be in the Maroon Room at Saints Peter and Paul.
Okay.
In the
Maroon Room.
The Maroon Room at Saints Peter and Paul. And this is very important. This is the main emphasis that she wanted to tell me about, to get out. This isn't just Rotarians that do this. This was a community thing.
Okay.
If you can sing, or I'm guessing half sing, be part of the Rotary Show. And you know what? This is the 75th Rotary Show. Now, how special is that? So
That's pretty special.
It's always a good time, a great community thing. It is still, I believe, the number one fundraiser for the Wellston Rotary Show. They make it free now, unless you buy a premium seat with mm-hmm. refreshments and all like that. I haven't heard those details yet. But they have a program that's very nice, and advertisers are support that to support the Rotary Show and all that the Rotary Club does.
Mm-hmm.
So Dorothy said that the she didn't tell me a theme, but what she did tell me was that they're going to sing some of the same music that was sung in the very first Rotary show.
That's exciting. How fun.
That will be a very special year for the Rotary show, and we'll be telling you more about that as we go. Vinton County High School wanted to get the word out through us. We're glad to be a vessel for communication that the parent-teacher conferences at the high school will take place on Monday, February 12th, 3:30 to 8:30. All parents are welcome and encouraged to attend. And if you're one of those parents that's wondering what's going on at the school, why is my kid getting a C instead of a B or an A?
Sure.
This is your opportunity to talk firsthand with the with the parent and teachers. One of the middle school teachers in Jackson posted this. I will not use a name, but there was a day that where the weather wasn't very good, and they were doing the parent teacher conferences. And there was on social media, of course, you know how reliable that is. But there was people complaining on social media.
It was a fair point he made.
We should have had school. Why did we not have school? Well, they had the parent teacher, and this teacher said that
nobody showed up.
Yeah, right. It might have been some of the same people who said the kids should have been in school.
I know. So anyway, I agree.
Just a little aside there.
Yeah. Please show up.
Right. We talked about dogs before. But the Vinton County Animal Shelter, that's the dog pound in Vinton County, is going to have a free adoption day on Sunday, February the 11th.
Wow.
But it's from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's a one-time thing. It's located on State Route 93 north of MacArthur. It's sponsored by Honeysuckle Salon of Wellston. But anyway, if you adopt a dog that day, the 5-in-1 shots, you know, that dogs should have.
Yes.
Kennel cough, microchipping, all that will be covered. You don't have to have that cost. If that is a, if that is something that keeps people from adopting, you know, just the cost, you're not going to have it. Also, those costs will be covered by the Vinton County Commissioners. That's their way of trying to support the dog pound. And from what I understand, the dog pound in Vinton County is very much taxed too, with the number of dogs and what they're able to do with the money that they have. And so this free adoption day is a great opportunity to rescue a dog. What better way to get a pet than through this means? Because you really do rescue a dog and you take a little pressure off the dog pound. Okay. Yesterday, Jackson County engineer Melissa Miller announced that County Road 32 Loop Road in Washington Township, it had been closed for a little while. It's back open now. Also, Township Road 136, that's Smoky Hollow Road in Bloomfield Township, which you correctly identified as a township, will be open this Friday at the end of the day. It'll be back open for the weekend.
Good
and
deal.
Then it will close again on Monday for about another week. But they wanted to get it open for the weekend for the motorists and the residents there. Okay, on the sports side, we want to tell you we had some games last night that were very close. The Jackson girls, who have lost only two games, defeated Logan 45-43.
Ooh!
But I understand from our crack sports staff who was there, Jackson was favored in the game, but they were losing by 14 points at halftime.
Oh, my.
They pressed the foot on the accelerator, and they came back and won that game over Logan 45-43. Also last night, a couple of local teams played each other. Vinton County defeated Wellston 53-51 at Vinton County. This is a girls'
game. So close.
And the Lady Vikings won on a last-second shot, I understand.
Oh, cool.
So that was very exciting there as well. And tonight, we've got a game on the radio. The Nelsonville York Buckeyes will be at Vinton County. This is a boys' basketball game. Remember, the Vikings are in first place in the TVC Ohio, and they're very close to clinching a title again. So congratulations to Coach N.J. Kite and his boys, and maybe they'll get one step closer to doing that tonight in the game against Nelsonville York. That, of course, will be on the radio, WYRO 98.7 FM. Then tomorrow, we're going to have another high school game. Jeff Thacker, Bob Griller, I presume, will be behind the microphones. They'll be back for a big non-league game against Marietta. And so why did I say it's a big game? I'm just not hyping. Marietta has lost one game this year. I think Vinton County's lost two. Marietta is considered, on a new rating system that's going to be used for tournament seeding, the top Division II team in all of southeastern Ohio. So you know that the Vikings will want to welcome them and try to pull off an upset, at least on paper.
That's
right. We'll see what happens there. So I've hit the end of the stack, and it is 10:01 p.m. I'm sorry for going over 1 minute.
Hey, you're all right, Pete. We're just happy to spend the morning with you.
All right. Well, very, very good. Happy Groundhog Day.
Happy Groundhog Day.
In deference to Bill Murray, let's do it for another time.
Okay.
Another hour. Let's start all over again.
Just do it again.
Right. And would you agree with me? If you haven't seen that movie, you ought to.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
It's different.
Yeah. It's totally different. So, all right. Well, everybody, have a wonderful weekend. We thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you right back here on Monday.
All right. Later, Gator.
This just in.
The Telegram News has a new website.
TheTelegramNews.com.
Same dedicated coverage.
Same trustworthy news with a brand new look.
Covering Jackson and Benton counties and surrounding areas.
Locally owned and operated, TheTelegramNews.com has its finger on the pulse of the community.
Stay up to date on local events, high school sports, and breaking news.
TheTelegramNews.com.
Subscribe today at TheTelegramNews.com.
Check it out.